Good evening, everyone. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 32. Isaiah chapter 32. Isaiah chapter 32. We'll read the first 8 verses. The name of the message is the Great Rock. The Great Rock. Isaiah 32. As I was in my study today, I was pondering how many in the congregation are going through various things right now. Lots of things going on with various people, and some that people aren't saying anything about, some things that I know about, and some things I don't know about. But there's a lot of people in the body here going through various things and in life. And this was just really laid upon my heart today as I looked at this scripture, and I hope it'll be a comfort to you. It was a comfort as I put the message together, and I pray that it'll comfort your heart. And sometimes messages just flow. Sometimes they just flow. And this one I had a little difficulty putting together, and maybe it's just thinking more and more about the different verses and about things that are going on, and just really weighed heavy on my heart that our Lord is a great rock in a weary land. He's a great rock in a weary land. And think that we're going through a weary land right now, every one of us. This earth is a weary land. It's a land of woe. It's a land of woe. I like what Drew Dietz told me today. We were talking, and he gave me a quote. He said, untried faith is unsure faith. Untried faith is unsure faith. But I'll tell you what, faith that's tried is sure. It's sure. And God puts his people through things. We go through things, don't we? And let us remember, and Drew and I were talking about this today, and it's good for us to remember this. Look back at the things you've went through, and look and remember how many times the Lord has delivered you and taken care of you and got you through all those situations. All of them. And beloved, he still does it today for us. And he'll do it all the way for us to get to glory, and then we'll be with him forever. Okay, let's look at our text. Isaiah 32, verses 1 to 8. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim. Now remember, we were blind. Now we see, beloved. Now we see. In the ears of them that hear shall hearken. There was a time when we turned a deaf ear to the things of Christ, and to the scriptures, and to the preaching of the gospel. But now, praise God, we hear. And that's all we want to hear. Tell me about Christ. Don't tell me about what I got to do. Just talk to me about Christ. Tell me about him. Tell me what he's done. And I'll rejoice. I'll rejoice. The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerer shall be ready to speak plainly. And gospel preachers, we preach the gospel plainly. Plainly. It's a marvelous gospel. It's inexhaustible. But we just plainly preach Christ and him crucified. We don't complicate it. We don't complicate it. You flee to Christ, you'll be saved. If you don't flee them, you're going to perish in your sins. Oh, may God make you willing to flee to him. The vile person shall be no more liberal, nor the cruel said to be bountiful. For the vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity to practice hypocrisy and to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry. And he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. The instruments also of the churl are evil. He deviseth wicked devices to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speaketh right. But the liberal devises liberal things, and by the liberal things shall he stand. But our verse tonight will be in verse 2 right here. And a man shall be in hiding place from the wind, in a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadows of a great rock in a weary land. That's our verse right there. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, in a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Sorry, I got all tongue-tied with liberal there. Tonight, we'll look at verse 2. Now, when we apply the language of the verse to the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Zion, we are struck with a number of metaphors in this verse. Take note here in this verse, he's not merely a hiding place from the winds of life. He's not merely a covert from the storms of life. He's not merely a river which pictures that he is the water of life, but beloved, he is the shadow of a great rock. Now, if we attempt to set forth our Lord's glories by earthly analogies, we shall need a host of them, for no one can set forth to perfection, because they are insufficient to display all his loveliness, all the loveliness of the Lord. And what a blessing it is to see that our beloved is in this verse, as this verse brings forth, a many-sided Christ, one of the old commentators said. And from that, all points of view, he's so beautiful, just like a diamond, when you admire a diamond from the different points of view. It's beautiful. That's how Christ is. And this verse here brings different sides of him, right? He's a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, and then as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Spurgeon said this, he's a many-sided Christ like a diamond. Same Christ, but here we have four different views of him. Oh, it's wonderful, beloved. And think upon the fact that he is spoken of in this verse in different ways, and our needs, each of our needs are different, aren't they? Each of our needs are different, yet the same. But we have different needs as we travel through this world. And then we have different circumstances as we travel through this world. Different circumstances as well. But yet all we need, whether it be in the circumstances or in our needs, is found in Christ. It's all in him. It's all in him. You don't need to look nowhere else but Christ and Christ alone. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, in a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. We will focus on this portion of Scripture in verse 2 that proclaims that our great King is a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And it is he and he alone who is our confidence. It is he and he alone who is our trust. He and he alone who's our hope. And it's he and he alone who's our refuge, isn't he? He's our salvation. He's our everything. As I've said many times, if you take away Christ from me or from you who believe, we have nothing. We have nothing. But oh, what hope we have in Christ. What a Savior we have in Christ. Everything we need, we find in him. All that a sinner needs is found in Christ. It's found in Christ. And note it says here, he's a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Not just a rock, beloved. Not just a rock. Not just any rock. He's a great rock. He's set apart. He's set apart. Remember, in our humanity, we're all a bunch of stones, aren't we? Well, he's a great rock. He's a lot different than we are. Bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, yet he's God incarnate in the flesh, beloved. He's a great rock. He's a great rock. We know that Scripture says that rock that followed the Israelites, that rock is Christ, right? It's a picture of him, a type of him. And it is He and He alone again who's our confidence. And it is in Him alone that we rest and repose. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. Where do God's people abide? Well, we see here that God's people, beautifully described, is those who abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Under the shadow of the Almighty. And tie that in with what we see tonight. Our Lord is the shadow of a great rock. He's a great rock. And we take refuge in the shadow of that great rock. Look at this in Psalm 91, verses 1 to 4. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide where? Under the shadow of the Almighty. Under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. Can you say that of the Lord? Can you say, as David said, He's my refuge, He's my fortress. And look at this, my God. Can you say that, that God is your God? If you can, you can say, you're only saying it by the grace of God in Christ. Oh my. And then look at this, in Him will I trust. In Him. Remember in our text, a man shall be his hiding place? In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be as thy shield and buckler. So let us always remember that when our hearts are overwhelmed, and they often are, they often are. Our hearts are often overwhelmed. We cry out for our God to lead us to the rock which is higher than I. Right? Lord, lead me to Christ. Take me to Him. Oh my. And that's where we find refuge. That rock is Christ. And now in order for us to fully understand this type which is set before us here, let's read it again in verse 2 of Isaiah 32. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, in a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Now, in order for us to fully understand this type and for us to fully appreciate the picture that is here before us, we have to picture the experience of an Eastern traveler traveling through the desert. It's not like nowadays when you jump in a car and you're driving around and you got air conditioning, and no matter how hot it is outside, it's not like that. No, these people traveled on foot or on camel or on horseback. And they would travel through vast stretches of desert. Vast stretches of desert with the heat just bearing down upon them. I found this in my studies also for this message. In the East, the following phenomenon is often observed. Where the desert touches a river, a valley, or an oasis, the sand is in a continual state of drift from the wind. And it is this drift which is the real cause of the barrenness of such portions of the desert. Because anything that tries to spring up just gets choked out when the sand just blows around and drifts over top of it. So any life that would start upon a piece of fertile ground would be quickly covered over by drifting sand. But they say if you set a rock down in the sand, you will see the difference its presence makes. After a few showers to the protected side of the rock, some blades will spring up. And if you have patience, you will see in time a garden. This is, of course, talking about some fertile ground. You will see a garden, and how the boulder produces. How does the boulder produce this? Simply by arresting the drift. Simply by arresting the drift. So then we see in this picture how God's people are protected under the shadow of the great rock. Under the shadow of the great rock. And that rock, again, is Christ, and it is in Him that we find refuge from all the various storms of life. It doesn't matter what you're going through. Doesn't matter what you're going through. And I know a lot of folks, we like to keep things inside and we don't like to say a whole lot. We like to tough it out. Take it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord. And He's our refuge and He's our shadow. No matter what storms of life come up, seek refuge in Christ and Christ alone. Now when these travelers would travel, the scorching rays of the sun would scorch the eastern traveler. They'd have to endure extreme heat. And what a grateful shelter this rock would be to that traveler. What a grateful shelter. Think of that. Like I say, it's not like nowadays when we're driving around in a car and air conditioning. You know air conditioning. You're riding on a camel or on horseback or walking. And that heat, that sun is just beating on you. And you're getting thirsty and parched. And think of what a sight it would be to see a great rock. A great rock in the middle of the desert. And you'd run there. We'd run as fast as, if we could run, we'd be running there. We try to get there as fast as we can. And oh, just as you sit under that rock and that shadow, and it's cool. Cool. Amid all the solitary landscape of the desert, here this rock stands. Oh, we'd run there. So we see then that our Lord Jesus Christ is a shelter to the believer at all times. All times. All times of life. In the morning of our life in Christ, we sit at the base of this wonderful rock. And we are just in awe. In the middle of our life in Christ, we're grounded and settled, sitting under the shadow of the rock. And in the evening time, when the shadows of life are drawing to a close, when the sun is starting to set, oh, what a comfort it is to sit under the shadow of the rock, which is Christ. When the Son of Life is going down, oh, what hope we have in Christ. When the joys of life are departing, what rest and repose the believer has in Christ. He is the rock of our salvation. So see, He's a fitting rock to seek refuge on no matter what we go through in our lives. To the wayfarer in the desert, again, few things are more glorious and memorable than when seated, it said, one commentator said, when seated in the shades of a parting day under some over-canopying ledge, and he turns his face to the towering granite peaks and he sees those illuminated with the last glow of the sun. And they're radiant with a luster indescribable to those who have never witnessed it. A blaze of ruby and amethyst sheltering them from the last rays of the days of the sun. Beloved, this is what Christ does for us. This is what Christ does for us. He is a shelter in all the times of our life. Whether we're young in Christ or old in Christ. Whether we're young in life or whether we're older in life. He's our shelter. He's our shelter in all times. And think of how the promises of God in Christ are so precious to His people. They are like a shadow of a great rock. We take refuge in the promises that God has given us in Christ Jesus our Lord. We take refuge in that. Take note again of our verse and think upon what we read over there in Psalm 91 where the Scriptures declare that the believer in Christ shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Let's look at verse 2 again with that in mind. And a man. Not just any man. Not just any man. The man Christ Jesus. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And then think of this again. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 91. In Psalm 91 there, the shadow of the Almighty is Christ. He has all power, beloved. He has all power. He's the one who protects us. He's the one who keeps us. Scriptures proclaim that we're under the shadow of His wings, and which is a reference to when birds overshadow and protect their young with their wings. That's what Christ does for us. All the time. He does this for His people. Putting Himself between the danger and us. We'll look at that a little bit further on. Christ, the Son of God, is sometimes compared to the shadow of a rock or tree which screens and shelters from heat. And He preserves His people from the heat of the fiery law of God. He protects His people from the flaming sword of the justice of God. He protects His people from the wrath of God. Have you ever thought of that? That He's protected you from all that? He also protects you from the fiery darts of Satan. And He also protects you from the fury of persecutors. And we still are persecuted, but oh my, He protects us. Think of how it would be if He didn't protect us. And we're under the shadow. We're under the shadow of the Almighty, beloved. And what a majestic shadow our Lord Jesus Christ represents to His people. Because He alone is the bestower of all peace. Where does your peace come from? Only from Christ. Where does your pardon come from? Christ. Your pardon only comes from Christ. Your pardon with God only comes in and through Christ. Where does your comfort come from? From Christ, eh, brother? Now we can comfort one another sometimes, but we can't comfort each other like God comforts us. Where's your strength come from? Where's your strength come from each day to carry on? Christ. Christ alone. Where's your hope placed? A lot of people hope for different things in this world. Where's the believer's hope placed? It's in Christ. And we rest and repose in Him, don't we? We rest and repose in the shadow of the great rock. And that's Christ. And our hope and our eternal life is only in and through Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, a lot of people are hoping for eternal life outside of Christ, and they are going to perish in their sins. But our hope, beloved, is outside of ourselves. Our hope is in Christ and Him alone. And it's under the shadow of the Almighty that we dwell. Oh my. He is faithful who promises that there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from the storm and from rain. And this shadow that we abide in and are under is Christ. He's the great rock. And we seek refuge in the shadow of the rock. Again, that's Christ and Christ alone. Let's read the text again. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, in a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry land, dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. So what a picture we have before us, that of a great rock. A great rock. And this brings forth before us the strength and durability and shelter and safety and protection and rest that we have in Christ. That we have in Christ. Because, beloved, this great rock spoken of in our text is immovable. Nothing can move it. Therefore, those who are in the shadow of that great rock are safe. Because that rock can't be moved. That rock can't be moved, beloved. Think upon this about our great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Age after age, this world has shot arrows at our great God in hatred. Those arrows have fell to the ground useless against our great God. Useless. Didn't even make a dent. Didn't even make a dent. Like when you shoot an arrow at a rock, it just bounces off. Just don't hurt the rock, but your arrow's probably going to be shattered. No harm to the rock. Think of this. Ages have come and gone. Ages have come and gone. Governments, countries, empires have risen and fallen. Yet this rock here, being Christ, still provides shelter to the pilgrim of the Lord traveling through this world of woe. Our dear brothers and sisters in Christ in ages past have all found refuge here, have all found refuge under this rock. And so do we today, beloved. It's unchanging, immovable. And this rock will be a refuge to our future brothers and sisters in Christ, whom Christ will bring to Him because He's redeemed them at Calvary's cross. There will not be one of God's sheep who shall be lost. Not one. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And as we turn there, let us ponder that the Lord Jesus Christ remains immutably the same. And He alone is the rock of our salvation. And we say, praise His mighty name. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 4. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Now think upon this, that the rock in the wilderness literally followed the pilgrim tribes from place to place. And from encampment to encampment, to the last hour of their wanderings. And however blazing the sun was, and however waterless the streams were, there the mysterious, ever-present accompanying rock was with them in its unfailing shadow. And think of the shadow, too, it would cast. And think of the inexhaustible streams which came out of it. Beloved, this picture's Christ, in Christ alone, who is ever with His people all through our journey in this life. So what can we learn here? What can we see? That Christ, the rock of ages, is ever present in the midst of His church. He's ever present with us. He's with His people, and He's a shadow of protecting grace and love. And when the sun of life is hottest and the desert is the driest, what refuge we have in Christ. what refuge we have in Him. Turn, if you would, to Exodus chapter 20. Did you know that during every stage and experience of the wilderness of this life, to the very brink of death, Christ is ever with His people, and He's with us when we cross over that river too, beloved. He's with us then too. We see He's ever with His people in the Old Testament. Look at this in Exodus 20, verse 24. It says, "An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offering, thy sheep and thine oxen, in all places where I record my name. And I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee." He's ever with His people. Ever with His people. "In all places where I record my name." He's with them. Now turn, if you would, to Matthew 28. Let's see what the New Testament says about this. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. And think of what we just read there. "In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee." He is with His people, beloved. Look at this in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." He just proclaims right there who He is. He's God. He's God. All power. That means all power, beloved. He has it all. There's nothing. There's not a molecule that's not that He doesn't know what's going on with. Not an atom. Nothing. "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." What a God. What a sovereign God. He's got all power. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo," and let this burn into your heart, beloved, "and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." You see that? I am with you always. Always. And this is where the believer dwells. Under the shadow. In the shadow of the great rock. And that rock is Christ. And He's ever with us, beloved. He's ever with us. Let's go back to our text again. With that fresh in our minds, let us take note of this verse. In the fact that a man shall be a hiding place in a covert from the tempest. He shall be as rivers of water in a dry place, and as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Look, it says, "And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, in a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land." Now, none of us can be for one another what this verse proclaims. We are all sinners in desperate need of a shelter. And you know, remember I said I was going to get back to something about how the Lord shields us and protects us. Think of this. We need shelter from the broken law of God because we broke it. We need shelter from that. We need refuge from our adversary, the devil. We need refuge from the persecuting world all around us. And beloved, we need a suitable refuge from our sins, and we need a suitable refuge from the justice and wrath of God, which rightly has a claim on. In our natural state, that law and justice had a natural claim upon every one of us. Oh my. We're sinners by birth, nature, and choice. And I can't be a refuge for you, and you can't be a refuge for me. Because we're sinners. I need a refuge for myself. And so with you too. Right? Oh my. So we can't be a refuge for one another, but our great God has provided a refuge from all these things, and it is God incarnate in the flesh, a man, the man Christ Jesus. A man shall be as an hiding place. A man. What comfort is here found for the weary pilgrim? I ask you who are the Lord's people, and I ask you to answer honestly in your hearts. Do you ever get weary? I do. Never get weary. I know you do too. We all do. We get weary. But here is the man spoken of in our text. Here is he who is our refuge, beloved. Here is our shelter. Here is our hope. The one who is pictured as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. The Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is pictured as a great rock. Here is the man spoken of in our text, Jesus Christ, the Word of God. The Word who became flesh and who dwelt among us, a man, bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, a man. The suffering Savior who perfectly fulfilled the law of God in our place, the sinless one who died for sinners on Calvary's cross, shedding His blood for the remission of our sins. Our shelter. Here is the man spoken of in our text. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who is now a living and glorified man. The one who sits upon the throne of grace and glory right now, ruling and reigning and interceding for us. It is He who is spoken of in our text in verse 1 as the King upon the throne. A man. A man shall be as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Beloved, that man is Christ and Christ alone. He alone is King Messiah. Look at verse 1. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness. Oh, our Lord is so righteous. He's a man who reigns in righteousness. And princes shall rule in judgment. Now, I want you to think upon something. Our text says that a man, and again, this is no ordinary man. This is the king spoken of in verse 1. That this man shall be a hiding place from the wind in covert, from the tempest's rivers of water in the dry places, the shadow of a great rock in the weary land. Now think upon this. The Lord Jesus Christ by himself, in the room and place of his people, and so we can say in the room and place of Newell. And each one of you can put your own in the room and place of his people. He bore the wrath of God, and we find shelter under him. He bore it all. Remember how I said that the drifts go around that rock, and where that other side of that rock is not affected? He bore the full wrath of God. He bore it all. It was poured out upon him for our sins. For our sins. And that wrath of God, beloved, has been turned away from us. It's been turned. Now it'll fall upon the unsaved. And it'll consume them. But that wrath, beloved, that was rightfully ours, we earned it, was poured out upon him and is turned away from us because it was poured out fully on Christ. and we're delivered from it in Him. Praise be to God. And you know, we're so delivered from that wrath that not one of it, drop of it, touches us. Think of the ark, right? All that rain beat upon that ark, which pictures the wrath of God being poured out upon Christ. But not a drop touched Noah and his family. Not a drop. Because they were in the ark. We're in Christ. He's the great rock. He takes it all. And we are safe under the shadow of that great rock, beloved. He has endured the storm and the wrath of God for us by Himself. By Himself. He's our propitiation. So let us never forget that His righteousness, His blood, His sacrifice, His intercession protect His people. Protect His people. And we are clothed in that perfect, spotless righteousness, beloved. And He also protects His people and covers them from Satan's temptation. He protects His people from the rage and fury of all our persecuting enemies. They who would seek to destroy His people, He protects them. He takes care of them. I've seen that in my life. I've seen it in my life happen. And you're just in awe. You're just in awe. And we are supplied with His grace as the tempests of affliction of various kinds beat upon us in this life. They beat upon the rock. They beat upon the rock, beloved. And He bears His people and carries us through all the trials and tribulations to tempt us in our lives. And yet, let us always remember that He delivers us in His time. His time. Sometimes it's hard to bear them, isn't it? But He always delivers His people. He never gives us more than we can take. Never. He always bears us and takes care of us. And in His time, He brings us safely out from that tempest. And one day, He's going to bring us safe to glory. What a day that'll be. You imagine that? You ever just stop and think about that? What that day will be like? What that graduation day, that promotion day, as Brother Norm says, when we receive our promotion? Oh my. Joy unspeakable. I don't even think we got the words to say what it will be like. But oh, what a day. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 18. Psalm 18, let us consider two verses over there. Verses 35 and 36 of Psalm 18. Look at this. This is just marvelous. This is just marvelous. All about Christ. The psalmist writes, "Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation." That's Christ, beloved. Verse 35. "Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation. And thy right hand hath holden me up." Who's that? That's Christ. That's Christ. He's the only one who holds us up, beloved. If He didn't hold us, we'd be gone. Like I heard one, I think Brother Don, we'd be gone, Jesse. So we'd be gone. We'd just be gone. We'd be absolutely gone. But oh no. "Thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip." The Lord keeps us, beloved. Now we fall. He picks us right back up. He carries us through it all, beloved. So the spiritual pilgrim, God's blood-bought people, are encamped under His shadow. That's our hiding place. We hide under the shadow of the great rock. And knowing this gives us great peace. It gives us the peace that passes all understanding, which of course is in Christ and Christ alone. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 26. And we'll look at verse 4 in a moment, but I'd like to say a few things here. Christ is the Lord, Jehovah, which is and which was and is to come. The self-existent, internal, immutable one. That's who Christ is. He's the Word of God incarnate in the flesh. Again, He's the Lord Jehovah, which is and was and is to come, the self-existent, eternal, and immutable one. That's our God. That's our Savior. And in Him is strength as well as righteousness for His people. And He is the eternal God who is the refuge of His people. And His arms of power and might are underneath them. They are the everlasting arms of God. Always remember that, beloved, that you are in the everlasting arms of God. You're in His arms. And Christ is the rock on which the church and every believer is built, against which the gates of hell cannot prevail. And He has been the rock of His people in all ages, in ages past, right now, and ages to come. So that he who trusts in the Lord has a refuge in this world and in the world to come. Now look at this in Isaiah 26, verse 4. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. See the word strength there? You know what that word is in the Hebrew? A rock. A rock. He's a great rock, beloved. He is a great rock. He's an everlasting rock. An everlasting rock. Christ is our everlasting rock, beloved. And it is in He and He alone that we find shelter and rest. Nowhere else. Oh, what comfort. What comfort for us, we who are weary pilgrims traveling through this world, to know that our Lord, our Savior is a great rock, an everlasting rock. Here, immovable rock. Oh, praise His mighty name that He's made us willing to seek refuge under that great rock. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Your goodness and mercy and grace to us in Christ Jesus our Lord. May we leave here rejoicing that You are the rock of our salvation, that You are the rock that we find shelter under, that You are an eternal rock, eternal strength for us. An everlasting rock. Oh Lord, we thank Thee that we don't seek refuge in ourselves anymore, we who are Your blood-bought people. There was a time when we sought refuge in our own self and in our own doings, oh Lord, but You, by Your mercy and grace, have saved us and were born again by the Holy Spirit of God, and now we trust in Thee alone, who is the great rock. Lord, we love You only because You first loved us. And we seek to give You all the glory and honor and praise. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's close with a song.